Welcome to Eagle Eye.
What a break from Manoa!
Interviewing your favorite USA Eagles around the globe.
Tony Lamball into the 22.
Now, here's your host, Bill Baker.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Eagle Eye Rugby Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. As you've noticed lately, we've been doing these every couple weeks now. We're publishing these podcasts. It's a busy time of year, and it's also a bit of the off season for Major League Rugby and USA Test matches coming up too. But every couple weeks, we're pushing out these interviews. Hope you've been enjoying them. If you do, please leave a review, follow me, subscribe on all your podcast players, and on YouTube, Facebook, social media accounts, all over. I'm not on TikTok. Probably won't get on TikTok. Sorry. Anyway, first thing here, today on this Eagle Eye Rugby Podcast, we have recently retired USA Eagle Shalom Suniola. Great conversation. He's a real fun guy. Loves the game. Some good laughs in this conversation. Spent a lot of time with Seattle Seawolves, his 7s, 15s. He goes into some really fun discussion about his most memorable moments in a USA uniform, including there in Chicago watching the haka from the All Blacks, and you know, coming from a kid who grew up in New Zealand, not me, him, growing up in New Zealand. That was a pretty special moment for himself. He talks about that, talks about World Cups, talks about Sevens time, like his first Sevens game, and much more, like his next step in his career, which is off the pitch, and he'll talk about that in this interview, and chances of him coming back and possibly coaching rugby in the future. Anyway, great guy. I think you're going to really enjoy this interview. Here I am with Shalom. I don't ever know what to say to someone retiring, you know, especially from sports. It's a little different than retiring from a career in corporate world where you're like, yeah, let's go to the beach. But congrats on an excellent career, you know, on all that. How's it feel?
No, it's a bittersweet moment, as you probably know. It's obviously, you'll definitely miss being the man in the arena, right? And going out to compete with your buddies, and competing against your buddies, right? Over the years, and so it's definitely, you know, I think the true moment would be when kickoff happens again next season and you got itchy feet on the sideline. So time will tell.
Oh yeah, it's good luck with that. But
yeah.
So you know, you've had a long career. What's been your secret? You know, what's been the secret for your success and playing for so long?
Oh, just the enjoyment of it, right? I thoroughly enjoyed every team I've played on, whether it was some form of, get-together squad, like an all-star team for whatever, for Tens or maybe, or with the Eagles over the time, the different groups that come together during assemblies to, you know, since the inception of Major League Rugby, right? It's been such an enjoyable experience, right. You know. Playing with different group of guys and going out to compete, trying new things, and you evolve over the years, and that's been the greatest part about it. Is I think I've grown both on and off the field, and it's certainly helped me just, you know, enjoy my rugby at the time. And so I am where I am today. I think one of the three ways you can, there's certainly three ways you can finish: performance or injury tells you you're done. Or the last and the least most traveled road is, I guess, having an exit plan. And I kind of, I think I have one in place, and that's the kind of the route that I chose. And so hopefully it goes the way it's planned.
Now, was there, you just mentioned that, different routes for retiring, but was there something for you that made it, yes, this is the right time? I mean, is it just, you know, recovery time gets difficult? Is it a new career change, or the career is laying out there for you? You know, what were the signs for you?
Yeah, good question. I think it was more the career change. I had gone to school over the last, 7 years, and I graduated in 2020 with an MBA. And actually, I didn't know until my very last year what I wanted to do, right? And so it took me that whole runway. And oftentimes, people, you hear that a lot. Not many people know what they want to do, and they think they want to do one or two or three different things. And I was fortunate enough to kind of narrow in down on what I wanted to do. And I'm in that field now. So I thoroughly enjoy, I thought the timing was perfect. The timing was right. And had some youngsters come through, so I felt them on my heels, and so I was like, oh, I need to pull the parachute now.
So, do it yourself before someone tells you to do it.
That's right.
So let's back up a bit. Let's talk a little, we're not going to get too deep into your youth and growth and all that stuff, but, born in American Samoa and raised a bit in New Zealand. Can you talk a bit about how you made your way over to the States and found your way into the USA camp?
Yeah, good question. So, I mean, a few people's heard this story before, but I have two older brothers, right, Roland and Andrew, who I was very fortunate enough to play on the Eagles with, and and it was actually Andrew who started, Andrew being the older one to Roland, and he, he was asked by, I think it was Scott Johnson at the time, to come trial out with the Eagles. I think there was a up-and-coming World Cup, Yeah, he was locked in the contract at the time, but he mentioned, well, I got two younger brothers. You want to have a look at them? And at the time, we started through the sevens route with Al Caravelli, and I think that was back in 2008. And we played on the circuit then, and that's all she wrote. And we loved it here. We've been here ever since.
Now, did you spend time here in the mainland United States at all before that?
No, that was the first.
So talking about your brothers, you mentioned Andrew and Roland, growing up, were they the two that you looked up to as far as, at least for rugby, in life, were you always chasing them, let's say, and then was there a time where you caught up to them and are like, okay, our little brother can handle himself and can take it to us?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I have five older brothers, right? And so there's three others. And they all played rugby, right? So I looked up to all of them, and I'm the youngest of them. And so I looked up to all of them in that sense, regarding playing, and I learned something a little bit from all of them. The closest Roland, he's number five, and I would often, learn a lot from him because I was, I got to play a lot. Train more in similar teams because we're similar age. But definitely, there was something to learn from all of them. But, obviously playing with Roland a little bit more, I got to learn, firsthand at sometimes. I had front row seats to some lessons from him, in regards to what not to do, what to do, and what to do better next time. Sort of, those sort of lessons you can only learn in the playground or in the backyard. So, thoroughly enjoy that, never regret that. And I think that's kind of helped build the foundation to a lot of the things I offer to the game when I'm playing. And so the creativity and things like that, it was all playing with my brothers.
Now, were you, at least these three here in the States, were you really competitive? Were there phone calls after a match saying, hey, Andrew, by the way, I scored two tries today. What did you do?
No, it wasn't that competitive, but we would always, rugby was, to some degree, would be the center topic at the kitchen table. Yeah. There would be an underlying competition, but no one would kind of mention it. And so you kind of let your stats do the talking, and that oftentimes it did. But you would never boast about it, but you can kind of feel the chip on your shoulder when you knew you had a great game. And being the younger brother, you always try to get your older brother's approval, right? Mm-hmm. And it didn't come easy. You had to earn it, that's for sure.
No, I bet. Talking about USA Rugby now, with the current group is getting together next week to get ready for the qualifiers. Looking back at your USA days, do you remember your first cap, your first time on the pitch, either with the sevens or 15s? And, how well do you remember that match? And what do you remember from that match?
Yeah, so for sevens was kind of the first time I put on the U.S. jersey. It was in, I think it was in a World Cup qualifier out on, I think it was Bahamas.
Wow.
It was the Bahamas. And, it was just an unreal experience to be able to know that, geez, this is, this is the stage we're going to be playing on. We're getting ready for the World Cup, and I think it was in Dubai. And then, from there, we went to the first World Series, and it was a bigger stage. And the level of competition was a different level, right? And so it was overwhelming, but at the same time, there was no other place. I just remember embracing it. I remember looking, warming up and singing, doing the anthem and things like that. It was just... It was very memorable, very memorable. And then my 15s was in Uruguay, 2014. I got to do the national anthem with my brother, and I got to play alongside. I think I came off the bench and play alongside of him and the group leading up to the World Cup in 2015. So, such a memorable experience. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I still have my cap at home. I'll have it framed, and you know, you don't seem to appreciate that stuff until, you know, you start thinking about, you know, fast forward to now, right? You think about retirement and you make that decision. You're like, geez, well, now all that becomes a lot more precious to you, and you hold on to those memories. So,
and talking about sevens, were you, when you started with USA, was that right around when they started having the full-time camps, the full-time residency programs? Were you part of that?
A little bit before. The full-time residency, I think, began in 2012. Mm. I think that's when it started. And so I think I came into the scene in about 2008-09. And so just a little bit before that. And so I saw that whole thing evolve to even to where it is now, right? And so the program has come a long way. The results have come a long way. The development, the entire thing. And so I'm just super excited to be a part of hopefully what the next 10 years can look like.
Oh, and that was my next question. So, you know, what is the difference, let's say, from this year's team with, you know, Barrett, Baker, Isles, and whoever else, compared to when you first came in the program? Do you see like a remarkable difference, or is it still the same program, still the same effort, that kind of deal?
No, there's certainly been a remarkable difference, right? I think from everything from, you know, both on the operational side of things and the way that there were lessons to be learned, right? And both the players have just evolved itself, right? Being on the circuit, there's great continuity. And I think that's one of the strengths that the team today has, which is continuity from over the years. And yes, Mike's a great coach as well, and he helped put together a great environment so the players can grow. But at the same time, it was founded by those before us, like, you know, Al and Emil Cygnus and those guys. And so the groundwork was certainly laid, and hopefully the program evolves even further.
Well, it's been a great way for to get more eyes in the game, you know, more fans involved in the game. So that's good to see, especially, you know, between sevens and then MLR, how the popularity of that you know, entity is picking up as well. And with MLR in mind, with you, with Seattle, you know, back-to-back champs, not the year you guys wanted in 2020-21, obviously. You know, you had a bunch of big names, which I enjoyed, like, loved watching, you know, Duru, Samu, whoever else, yourself, of course. You know, how difficult was it leaving Seattle now after a difficult year like that? You know, is it still, it's like, okay, one more year, we can do this?
No, it wasn't too hard. I mean, it would have been difficult if I didn't have a plan, right? A plan to go to from a career standpoint. But good or bad, it was definitely time. I knew to step away and pursue my career and not hold on too long. But certainly, geez, the first 2 years were fun, right? And a lot of that was like, man, I set out to do something. I was lucky enough to achieve it. And, you know, I just almost be glad and be proud of that and move on and allow for the next talent to come through. And so I love that side of things. I love seeing the young guys come through. I love seeing some of the, you know, who were younger guys become senior players. That's such a cool transition because you remember when you were in that shoe. Again, you just asked me about my first test match, and you know I'm playing in the halves, and I'm supposed to tell these guys who have, you know, 40, 30 caps what to do. But you just had to grasp it, you know, and run with it, and get that confidence in the game, because once you take that field, whether you have one cap or 40 caps or 50 caps, it doesn't matter. Like it's you against them, and so you just had to step up and step out, and I will miss that. You know, I'll miss that because it was certainly a moment that you can't replicate anywhere else. Well, you can try it in the corporate world, but you know it's just not the same.
All right, so what is your next step? What are your plans going forward?
Yes, yeah, so now I made a transition to commercial insurance. I certainly am excited to help sport in a different aspect. you know, from an operations standpoint. And so, you know, insurance was just something that, you know, I'd love to help organizations, right? Not just rugby, but just sport as a whole. It's given me so much. And so I wanted to not only give back to sport and that and get creative and apply the same level of passion and commitment to that, but also, you know, it's build some business acumen around that and be able to, you know, and to come back to just step away from the game. It's really refreshing, to be honest. You know, I used to work part-time in rugby, juggle a full-time job with rugby, play. I was in school, and so it's just nice to step away for a little bit, learn something new, and be able to hopefully come back and to the game at a later point.
Wow, you make insurance sound really exciting. So,
well,
so, you know, again, so, I mean, congrats on that move into that field, and which I wish you the most luck, of course. But are you still going to have your foot on the field still? Are you still going to be coaching at all, or are you just taking a break now, going straight forward into this career?
No, I think I'll take a step back from even coaching. I'll do it definitely at a volunteer level with the local community, right? Because I just think it's the right thing to do. For example, on the weekend, I was coaching the Washington Athletic Club Sevens team at the National Championship. So that was fun. It was fun to see some familiar faces again and stay connected with the rugby community, help volunteer here and there, or, you know, but at the same time, nothing too serious. Time commitment, as you know, is part of the reasons why I chose to, you know, part ways with rugby. So that being said, I just volunteer. But I think at some point, I did learn a lot. You know, coaching at the grassroots here in America has taught me a lot about where we are today and where we could be. And so I'd love to, you know, maybe down the line, come back to the game and, you know, coach at some level or from an operations standpoint. You never know. I'm all open ears.
So my old club, my old men's club, is Atlanta Old White. And I believe you guys faced them on Sunday this past week. And I think they won. And I look at my – I don't know. No, but that was great to see. Great to see all that talent out there at Starfire. It was some really good players out there too. So it's good to see players like you coaching them, which is great.
Yeah. No, there was some great talent over the weekend, and you know, especially with the result with the Olympic team, you know, just previously in Tokyo. And you know, we need to keep building that pipeline, right? And there certainly were some great talent on display, and I'm excited to see what's next for them.
So, listen, just another question for you, maybe one or two more at the tops. You know, I'm looking at your career. You know, you've played with the multiple sides, like you mentioned, you know, Belmont, Seattle, Saracen Seawolves, you know, Olympic traveling squad, you know, USA Islanders, which hope to see them again one day. Tens in Hong Kong, you know, World Cups, Rugby World, Sevens Cups, World Cup. When you look back at all that, and you may have to think about this for a second, of course, you look back at all that, all those trips you made, all that time you spent, all those friends you made, are there any particular moments that still stand out in your mind?
Oh, yeah, several. You know, here are the top ones that come to mind straight away. Facing New Zealand and Chicago, the haka, right?
Oh, like, my God.
Only those who were on that field that time could feel how electrifying that was. You know, a little bit, a part of that was a little bit more sentimental, was the fact that I grew up in New Zealand. And, you know, as a kid, I didn't know at the time I was born in America, but like, you grow up wanting to be, you know, because all your friends played rugby, you watch it on TV. Now, you know, if you can't play for them, play against them, second best. And that would be memorable. Another memorable event was the World Cup in 2015 in England, right? It was, they put on a phenomenal event, and we enjoyed every stop. We enjoyed, you know, the bus trips and just, you know, each other's company. I think that was a great team. And then for me, I enjoyed Hong Kong, obviously, Sevens. I mean, that's the pinnacle of sevens. You know, they say you haven't played sevens unless you've played Hong Kong sevens, and I'm definitely proud to be a part of that leg or that part of the series every time I got, you know, invited. And so, but I think what closed that, what topped that off was the world, the Hong Kong tens with the Penguins, right?
Oh, wow.
And so, I mean, I always say sports is about opportunities and experience, and that was quite the experience to play with other sevens players from around the world, and we come together, and we got to play tens in Hong Kong, and got to see Hong Kong in a different way. We got to see Hong Kong; it was fantastic, and so that's one of the most. And we ended up winning it, and so it was made it more fun and more for the memory side of things. And so I certainly enjoyed a ton of them. Yeah, those are just a few that come to mind.
Well, I can't imagine the jersey collection you probably have in your house right now with all those trips, all those jerseys you might have swapped with other players, and it's got to be pretty incredible. But Shalom, that was a lot of fun. Thank you for taking my questions. You know, it's been a pleasure watching you throughout these years, either in a USA jersey or a Seattle jersey, even if you are playing against the Free Jacks over here. but best of luck in the future career, and we do all hope you get back on the pitch as a coach at least.
Perfect. I really appreciate it, Bill.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.